Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.
Football 52 rolls on in the summer months. As we record this, it's the 12th day of June. I've got UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. I'm Brady Hull. Coach, you're running all over the place, man. You told me before the podcast, you're like, dude, I'm running on fumes right now. So I said, this is perfect. Now's the time to ask you anything, because you might just be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, thanks for not commenting on my. I mean, I rolled in here today. I'm usually dressed as a coach when I come in here, and this morning I've got these like. I don't know. I guess you called like swim trunks. I've got a sun shirt, some swim shoes on. I was mowing the lawn at 5:30 a.m. Now I've got an Ego electric zero turn mower.
Nice.
So we don't have very close neighbors anyway, but still they're close enough. If I was running a regular motor,
those things are pretty quiet. You can't really.
They're very quiet. Yeah. The only thing you can hear is the blade hitting the grass, I guess, which does create a surprising amount of noise, but it's nothing like a motor, of course.
I need to look into something like that, because mine's complete, I think it's a mower. My father-in-law lent it to me. It's like a mower from 1974, but I think it was used for like construction sites, and they're mowing weeds around there and stuff, so it's okay hitting rocks. So it's the loudest thing in the world.
Yeah, I get some because of the type of acreage that I'm mowing, I got to have combat blades on there, and I mean, that's part of that. My neighbor and I got a zero turn at the same time, and we didn't set out to do it, but I was just like, I bought this zero turn, it gets delivered tomorrow. He's like, I just bought one too. We should have just shared, because we've got a gate between us. But then in comparing, he got the bigger gas, like the gravelly, it's kind of a prosumer type model.
And I got
this electric, and I love the electric, and I'm tired of maintenance and gas and oil and all that. And when I mow on Sundays during the season, I need it to be fast. How do we get on this, man?
Maybe. I'm actually really intrigued, because I hate it. It's always in the back of my head, changing oil and filling it up with gas.
Yeah.
When I grew up on a farm, it was different, because we always had oil and gas there. But now I got to drive to the gas station, fill up the gas, and then, do the oil thing. So I'm 100% on board.
It's going to make me a better
this.
Coach. But I got to say, my neighbor, who's also kind of a rancher, a manly man, he like. I could see him disappointed in my decision to go electric.
Oh, yeah. No, and trust me, I've done that a few times. I look across, I'm like, oh, you're going electric, huh?
Yeah.
I bet he never has to change the oil or worry about that thing. I do have an electric weed eater, and that's the best thing ever, because I hate having to find the fuel mix for those weed eaters, man.
I'm all in on Ego. I've got the hedge trimmer, the blower. I've got a regular lawnmower because it's got the bagger, like the push, because I like to bag up next to the property where the what is this podcast?
I don't know because I'm coach. We're putting in my wife. She never stops the stuff, and we're putting another bathroom in on like our little warehouse out there. So they're digging up the entire. We got to trench it out and get the lines. And I had just finally gotten the yard to look okay, but now I look around and through this trench. Every 10, 20 feet or so, broken line, broken line, broken line. So I have to go repair all the, and it's easy, but I think about this stuff now nonstop. Oh, so you got to have the right tools.
I'm that guy. I mean, you find me crack of sunlight, I'm walking outside with a cup of coffee and obsessing about the, a brown spot on the lawn.
Yeah. Oh, and this is the time of year for that to happen, too. We just need some rain. That's the best, that's the way to solve this. Yeah. We don't have to worry about the sprinklers. It's just rain all the time.
Yes.
Coach, part of the reason, you're describing your attire, part of the reason you're just running all over the place, you maybe don't have as much time to, to prep the image. Who am I wanting to talk, by the way? Because the beard's getting out of control.
It is.
But you've got a pretty, for one thing, and I know there's several other things on the docket, but I forgot about this. You did this. You always do this. You're having the team over.
The welcome
tonight.
Back barbecue. Yes. And, the boys came back about 10 days ago and started training, but we don't necessarily have to do that right when they get back. And so there's the welcome back barbecue. And then in about another 2 weeks, the incoming brand new players we call them the freshman bridge guys, but it's just basically anybody brand new. Also have them over the house. That one's a little less of a party and more of a, like, you know, Andy Feinstein and Darren Dunn, hopefully they can make it. And then, you know, I give them a lecture, you know, like, hey, we recruited a certain, you presented yourself in a certain way. I know your parents, and I want you to stay that young man. We're going to do everything we can to send you back home better than we found you.
Yeah.
And that's our job. But don't be coming here and trying to act thuggy. Like, I'm just saying right now in front of everybody, you guys are all good kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you were raised a certain type of way. So anybody that's not acting that way is fronting. And that's not, and you're not welcome here in this program if that's going to be what you've decided to do, is to break away from home and start living your own life with different morals and not the way you presented yourself in recruiting. So that's a little more serious. Tonight,
no, I like
tonight
it.
Is live band. Ben Fusco from Zoe's coming in with the food truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is like tonight is just straight fun. And then I specifically don't invite administrators to this one. This is more like anyone who serves the players on a regular basis. So trainers, facilities, like the guys that have to kind of put up with our players. And then because the administration does so much for our players, but it's more of a top-down dynamic, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And then we have, you know, all of those that kind of like serve the players on a daily basis, they'll be there. And then hopefully everybody can relax together, get to know each other, a little different environment than what we're used to.
I can tell there's a pep in your step. Like, you're exhausted, but
yeah.
You are really looking forward to this tonight. I can just tell.
Yeah, I'm nuts right now, but I'm glad that my wife is like not in on a call in, because she, like, there's a buzz in my brain that I can't truly hear and comprehend what's been going on this week. We started out with a 21-hour workday on Monday because we've got a high school camp going on, and that is like, you know, the kids stay overnight, and that got me going, right? You know, my body is in some kind of protect mode right now.
That's what I'm saying. Now's the time to ask you anything. Yeah. Well, you know, it's June. It's fun to talk about this stuff. Like, these are all those bonding moments. These are, you know, guys are working hard at practice, workouts, all that. But these are also moments that, you know, you're talking to your players saying, hey, we recruited you because of this, this, and this. Also because you're just a good dude. And this is all we know about you. Don't change that. You know, these moments right here, those conversations are what you might not necessarily bring back in a vocal way. But these are the moments that are going to, you know, hopefully bind this team when we are into November and you guys have a tight game going on and you guys can look back at these moments. And yes, it's fun. It's great. But it's also extremely important to have these.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always give them the odds. And it's changed a little bit, like with transfer portal, although it hasn't hit us because we've got good retention as much. But I've always kind of just had a, you know, off the cuff anecdotal when I'm talking to those, that new group of kids and telling them, hey, fellas, 4 out of 10 of you won't be here for your senior year.
Mm.
And by your own choices, not your choice to leave, but your off-field lifestyle choices. That's just the stats. I want 10 out of 10. I want every single one of you to be able to enjoy senior day with me, to have championship rings on your finger. That's what I'm working tirelessly for. But some of you guys, statistically, and over the years I've seen it, and even in my own program where I've got so much influence over you guys, I fail. And I fail to reach guys, and they decide that they're going to, you know, act the thug, and then you're going to kick yourself out of the program. You're going to self-select yourself off of our roster, not to a bigger, better thing, not to a transfer portal and a couple $100,000 in your pocket. This is probably out of football because you've decided that you want to live in a different way than the way you were raised.
I've been looking forward to this podcast all week because of all the stuff going on. Obviously, there's tons of things. We talked a lot about it last week in the NCAA. Then there's a new thing that hit. We knew about the Brendan Sorsby stuff. That has been, it erupted because, you know, you have the NCAA. First off, Texas Tech's like, okay, we'll do the right thing and we're going to suspend you, but you're going to go through this process and we'll figure it out. And then the NCAA comes in and goes, no, you're done for good because that's breaking the rules. You don't bet on sports and you certainly don't bet on your own team, which he did. He admitted as much while he was at Indiana, while he was at Cincinnati. And then Texas Tech appeals that, fighting for it. NCAA still says no. Sorsby then files a lawsuit, and a Texas judge says, yeah, you have a mental health addiction, so the NCAA would be not really helping their student athletes if they don't do this. We're going to allow him to play. He's going to be suspended for like 2 games against Abilene Christian, Oregon State. And I think I say all this to go back to you. I mean, from the beginning of these podcasts, from the start of our relationship, getting to know you, from the get-go, it was, guys, we're not staying out late doing silly stuff, man. We're not going to go, going out to bars. We're not doing this kind of thing. We're not gambling. We're not whatever. Then you got this complete extreme going on with Texas Tech. And I'm hearing this roundtable yesterday with the president, with Texas Tech president, AD, all that coach. And it's basically, in a roundabout way, it's almost just excusing that because we're just going to pin it all on a mental health addiction. Really wanted to get your insight on this with what's going on with Sorsby and Texas Tech.
I've seen this over and over. It's not always gambling, but you can find these situations over and over and over where a really good player gets into some trouble, and then the head coach decides that they're going to justify it. And that it was just 2-3 years ago. Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State were on top of the world. Mm. Running back gets a DUI in the offseason, and he makes the joke. A media member said, "Is this running back going to be suspended?" And he made some type of joke. I'm kind of paraphrase here,
sure.
But I would suspend myself before I suspend him. I've been behind the wheel.
Oh yes, yeah.
I'm saying?
I'm all over it. Yeah.
And within 2 years, he was done because here's the deal: you've got a team set of rules or an NCAA rules or whatever they are. Right? It doesn't matter. It could be. Hey, we're navy blue. We don't wear red in the weight room, right? It doesn't matter what the rules are. As a coach, when you start to allow the star player to get away with doing certain things, it's not that player that's not going to respond well. That player going to keep playing. You've earned that player's trust. They'll do anything for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the rest of the team. The rest of the team is going to start wondering, well, what is it that I can do? What decisions can I make that are maybe within the gray area or even against the team rules? Because that's how it works here. If you're a good enough player, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
You can break the team rules. And that was a team rule for Texas Tech. Whatever it is now is different, whatever they're arguing for now. And, I'm all for, whether it's mental health, whether it's addictions, I'm all for that. But that doesn't mean that they need to have the privilege to play sport,
no,
right? Like
no.
You don't. If you have an alcohol problem at work and that's affecting the business in some way, even just you're a high performer, but public perception. Okay, fine. That would be a cool thing for a workplace environment to help out with treatment and support and get you back to a place where there's not a negative public perception. But you don't have to be out in front and doing the productive work for the company during that time necessarily, right? And that's what's really weird to me is. To acknowledge that he has a problem, to offer and facilitate support, 100% behind that.
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, he needs to play football,
right?
To somehow stop gambling,
yep.
But he was already playing and gambling, so I don't understand the connection.
I don't either.
It's BS. You know it's BS.
Yep.
I know it's BS. So does the judge. Check the judge's undergraduate degree. Where he came from, it's bizarre.
Well, and again, it's if you are in the real world, if you get into trouble, if you have an addiction, it's like if you can't control yourself, if you're an alcoholic and you can't control yourself at a bar or a brewery, if you have one beer and that turns into 20 and who knows what else, then they're probably gonna say, hey man, don't even let it start, don't even start it. You can't even have one. So if you have a client meeting. Do coffee. Go to a coffee place. Mm-hmm. Don't go to a place where they serve alcohol. So this guy is saying, I have an addiction to gambling on sports, me being able to continue to play sports and be around it. I mean, coach, your players are hearing this stuff. They're getting gamblers all the time. They're like, man, I really needed you guys to cover 12 and a half. And I mean, we joke about it here with you. Of course, we're never texting you or anything like, come on, coach, kick that field goal. We needed more points. We had the over on you.
but that's realistic. He won't be able to block that noise out. So that temptation is going to be there all the time, especially if you're playing in this game. There's advertising around it. He's going to see it. When they're announcing lineups, they're probably going to have that kind of stuff underneath it with the graphic image or with the images there. And so I thought, you know, here's what I was thinking, Coach. Here's the biggest statement you want to make. Texas Tech, put your money where your mouth is. You want to help your student athlete? Great. Give him his scholarship. Let him continue to go to school, but don't let him play football. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... Now, that, you know, again, it's like, well, yeah, but that's what he's going to college for. That's how he got a scholarship. Well, if you really are saying you care about the student first, but you also want to honor the integrity of the game, hook him up with a scholarship, but don't let him play football.
Yeah. I'm completely, like, libertarian to the extreme. And if you want to impair yourself, if you want to do drugs, if you want to gamble, all that's great. But guess what? I run this football team, and yeah. I want to do that with liberty. And I want to have the guys on this team that I want to have. And I want to work with those in the way that I want to work with them. And we're going to have a certain set of rules, right? Like, to me, it's making absolutely no sense. And like no. You said, to actually throw him right back in that environment, our players could tell you, you know, a couple of things that I remind them all the time. You cannot hang out with skunks and not stink. Mm. You're going to get some stink on you. Or another way we say it, you know, kind of beep it out, whatever. But,
yeah, sure.
You know, don't be hanging out in toilets wondering why you're always getting shit on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to – well, and again, when you talk about that and you have guys that come to you and say, hey, maybe I am around the wrong crowd, and they're getting me into this kind of thing. Well, his wrong crowd was gambling. Now, it's not necessarily like he's hanging out with the fellas and they're enticing him to do this. He's doing it, but that's what his wrong crowd is, mm-hmm. sports gambling.
Yeah.
So staying in sports is just – They can twist this story any way they want. I've watched it. Was 20 minutes yesterday with Texas Tech. And, I mean, I'm hearing things like, well, we should modify the rules because we can gamble on our phones now. And I didn't know it was 100% legal to even gamble on sports in Texas yet. But I don't know. I need to look at that.
So let me make sure I understand that rationale.
Yeah.
If we can do it on our phones,
yeah.
It's now okay.
Yeah. Right. We need to edit the rules because it's easier to break the rules now.
Yeah. Can we not steal money on our phones? I mean, is that does that make it okay? I don't, like, there's all kinds of things we can do on our phones.
I know.
It's absolutely bizarre. And, well, like, look, you know, just for people maybe listening, whatever, I'm not sitting here saying I don't have vices and struggles, right? We all do, right? Whatever they are. And his is out front and right now. And so, you know, like, if one of my players was in this kind of trouble, I would be trying to keep it within as much as possible and help that player. Like, I get all that. I just don't understand, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I don't understand how you allow some rules to be bent, broken, and not others. It's like, what about the actual rules in the game? So the NCAA said no gambling, whatever. It's arguable maybe that there could be gambling or should be gambling if you bet for your own team to win. Let's say that was the new moral.
It has to be a positive
bet. Let's say that was the new morality, okay? Yeah. Well, if that's the new morality, great. It was still a rule. And so let's say, what if somebody thinks offensive pass interference shouldn't be a rule? So I want to commit offensive pass interference every time, but I also have anxiety and I have this problem where I'm addicted to offensive pass interference and you must let me do this. And I'm going to go to the judge and the judge must allow me to do this.
Yes.
I am an offensive lineman and I must hold the opponent. Because I have this, I have this addiction to holding,
and I'm aggressive out there. It's my nature.
That's right.
And listen, all these like comparisons sound extreme, but that's when something like this happens. That all these things you and I have been talking about over the years, you know, the NIL, the transfer portal. There's a lot of issues with those things, but we make it work somehow. This is the one that kind of takes the cake for me because it's like that was 100% against the rule. They edited the NIL. They edited transfer portal stuff. I get that. And it makes sense as to why I still want it to be regulated more. But if you can't even regulate gambling in you know, players that gamble. I mean, Coach, I brought this example up several times, but last week, Alabama State, 4 basketball players were contacted by guys gambling and basically paid them $2,000 to throw a game against Mississippi State. I believe they were 6-point dogs. Now, Alabama, these players didn't play last year. I don't know if they were secretly suspended or what, but they didn't play last year.
And I don't really know what their futures look like. But coach, don't you think it's reasonable if you get caught, if you get busted gambling, can't you just quickly go to, oh, no, I have a mental health addiction to gambling. So then you just get to play. Isn't that what we're saying? If you get into trouble, blame it on mental health and you'll be okay.
Yeah, it's mental health is real, right? Like, I've probably talked about it before, but I did my graduate work in, my graduate degree is in counseling, and that at one time I thought I would do that as a profession and be a coach and a counselor, and perhaps at the high school or junior college level where that's more common to have that dual role. And it's important to me, and I acknowledge that it's real, but it's just the connection between struggling with something and having a mental health issue and then having all your rights and freedoms to go along with that, that's never been part of the mental health profession. Mm-mm. And so it feels to me hijacked that you would expect these players to behave appropriately or even follow rules. Like, if you want to argue the rule, what the rule is, fine. You want to say, hey, look, you shouldn't have to stop at a red light if there's no other traffic in the area. Okay, yeah. Well, like, I get it. Like, that's for legislators. I'm not interested in that. Once it's a rule, follow the rule. Mm-hmm. And whatever mental health struggles or whatever like that are going on, the support for that can be completely separate from continuing to drive and red lights, right?
How does, you know, and I think about this. Smiley was in yesterday. They played Texas Tech last year. Now we're hearing Nebraska, Georgia. We heard those from those programs, and they're both like, hey, we're gonna look forward at the schedules, and we're not going to schedule Texas Tech. That's not just football. It's the whole thing. And, you know, I kind of asked Coach Smiley about this, you know, whether or not if Texas Tech was on your schedule again next year, is that something the administration would consider? Now, Abilene Christian plays Texas Tech. Now, we know that's a money game. Abilene Christian's going to get some money. So me personally, I wouldn't blame Abilene if they said, no, we're going to keep that game. Because there's going to be a lot of teams that are fighting, and maybe the Big 12 is going to do something. I don't know. But for like Abilene Christian, I go, play that game, take their money. How would you view that at this point? If Texas Tech was on your schedule, is that even a conversation you're having with Darren Dunn? Like, do we take a stand at all here? Or at the end of the day, we're a football team. We play football. We're not going to cancel games.
I love what they're doing because we're all beholden to the rules. The thing about a court case, like I'm like a novice law professional here, right? But I'm going to explain it as I see it. The thing about a court case is that only applies to Brandon Sorsby. It's kind of like the Diego Pavia thing. When he got the extra junior college years, all my JC kids were like, hey, I get an extra year. If they do it for one, they got to do it for all. No, that's not the way the law works. There is a precedent, but you would have to go to court and win your own case to get yourself this, right? So this allowance to break the NCAA rule and still play only applies to Texas Tech and Brandon Sorsby. The rules that UNC, Nebraska, everybody else is following, that's still illegal. Our players still would be suspended in trouble in some way for gambling, as would we as coaches, administrators, etc. So I love that the ADs are taking a stand and saying, no, you know what? You're not playing by the rules we are, and therefore we're not going to play.
Yeah, you're in your own league now.
And Texas Tech is saying, well, then we'll sue you. But as I understand the law, they just like tort, you can't sue somebody else for some harm they did to somebody else, right? So like if we're all playing by these rules and Texas Tech is not, then we have grounds not to play the teams that don't play by the rules.
Is that something where you would go to Darren and say, do we consider not playing Texas? Let's just pretend that instead of Weber State game one, it's Texas Tech.
So in football, and this is kind of interesting, coaches don't have much to do with the scheduling. They run it by us for approval. Yeah. And I certainly would have probably veto rights on playing. But football scheduling is critical to a university. Every other sport, the head coach makes their own schedule. They hardly even run it by anyone else. They're responsible, basically, to put together the type of schedule that the athletic director has charged them with. Football is completely out of my hands. And so it's the question that you ask is a little bit like, it's just not, with all the stuff that I've got going on and all the responsibilities that I have, I've got to really rely on it's kind of a Dan Moy, who's in charge of our finances, because it's a big part of football scheduling is finances,
mm-hmm.
and then Darren Dunn, and they really do so much of the work. It would sound strange for me to sit here and say, oh, I'm going to walk in and, you know, make a proposal. Like, it's just not how it works.
Well, and to be fair, like, from my questioning standpoint, like, if whoever is playing Texas Tech to start the season, like the first two, Oregon State and Abilene Christian, I have no issue with them just saying, yeah, we're not going to mess with that. We don't want to get deep into that. We owe it to the kids to, we just want to play football. We don't want to get into trouble here. So just play the game. Personally, if I'm just like putting myself in that position. I don't know that I would necessarily say that's a battle worth me fighting today, because at the end of the day, we say we're doing this about the student athletes. So let's keep our games. Let's avoid any issues. We don't want to be, if they are suing, do we even want to go to court? All this stuff. So personally, even though I asked that question, I would say, you know, it would make more sense to just keep your schedule. Now, as a fan, there is a part of me that wants to see the coach primes, the rest of the Big 12, whatever, that kind of wants to see somebody step up and do it. And that's crazy. But I also am like, I really, 90% of me thinks, yeah, I would probably just stay the course and keep my schedule.
Let me go back and answer your question this way. If Darren Dunn, my boss, athletic director, came to me and said, hey, we've got Texas Tech on the schedule. Here's what's going on. They've got somebody reinstated for breaking the rules. I don't think it's right. We're gonna forfeit the game. I would 100% support him.
Mm.
And you know, we'd probably try to find another competitive opportunity for our guys, because there's a negative there to taking a stand and playing one less game. Negative impact on our players, which is not ideal. But yeah, at some point, somebody's got to take a stand for the rules. Like I said, I'm all for the rules changing. Rules are meant to be changed and broken. Like, I love what's going on in the landscape of college football, right? But I don't like the retroactive justification of a mental health issue on gambling for this guy that broke the rules. Mental health doesn't allow you to break the rules.
Right. And that's the thing. That's just because you have some kind of addiction or mental health issue, you can't. I hate that you can use that as a justification. Now, can that help you out in the court of law sometimes? And instead of going to prison, you're forced to go to rehab or a facility and that kind of thing. I understand all of that. I really do. But when we're talking about actual college sports, we see it at the pro level. Guys mess with the game, they're out. The NBA started their season suspending a handful or kicking out a handful of guys that were involved in gambling. They can do that because the players sign those contracts that say in the fine print here, if you are involved in gambling, I don't know what it says, but
exactly.
If you
law.
Do it, we're out. You're out of here and you can't sue us.
I mean, from a moral standpoint, what if you're a Robin Hood style thief, is that any morally more wrong than gambling?
Yeah.
Gambling on sports that you're actually playing in, I don't see much of a distinction there. So can you have an addiction to thievery, to thieving rich people? And can are you allowed to get away with that, you know, in society because you have this addiction?
Well, and Coach, I've heard so many people. Most people are like, this is appalling, Texas Tech, wow. But there are some, probably Texas Tech people, that are coming out, you know, Georgia, those guys get DUIs and speeding tickets. And then there's these guys that do this. And all I'm going to say is this, and it's this way with professional sports too. If you mess with the integrity of the game, for the guys that run sports, the NCAA, the NFL, the NBA, you're risking screwing this up and potentially bringing. I mean, boxing was the king of, like, one of the kings of sports back in the 60s, and then it started to get found out that there were fights being thrown. There was a lot of gambling going on. And that sport still rolls, and there's big fights now and time and time again. Nothing like it used to be. And if football doesn't nip that in the bud quickly and say, hey, you gambled on a sport on our game, Tom Brady, you deflated a football that messed with the integrity of the game, you're going to get four games. They didn't even prove that Tom Brady did that.
Yeah.
The evidence that came out just said the final whatever was, it was more reasonable than not to believe that he took air out of a football. Yeah. They never actually proved he did it, and he still got suspended for four games. So it's all I'm going to say is, yeah, there are athletes and whatever that they hit their wives or they got in a fight or they whatever. But if you mess with this game, you risk messing with this game. like almost taking it down. And if one person believes that there are players in the NCAA that are actively gambling on games, that's going to hurt not only their gambling status, but it's going to make them not want to watch.
Mm.
And that's what's so creepy about this.
Really, really interesting take. Yeah, I want to respect the rules. I don't, you know, we all make mistakes. So I really feel for this young man. I'm sure he has so many people manipulating his situation right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have this impression that he got into some trouble and then said, you know what, I'm going to take it to court. I've got this, I've got this addiction to gambling and I can beat this and all that. It's just these players now have so many people in their ears, the agents, the parents in some cases I think it's forgotten. I see it every day. I know that players, the student athletes at this age, they're at such a developmental stage of their lives. I want to be somebody for them that helps change their life for the better. And that's my biggest disappointment. It's not in this player gambling. It's not in whatever punishment it is, that the NCAA meets out in association with the courts. Great. I'm disappointed in the coach. And I'll make the prediction now. Texas Tech and trying to think of his Joey McGuire.
Joey McGuire.
They are really on top. I mean, they had a fantastic season last year. The slide is starting, and in my opinion, it's starting with this because there's just you don't set up a culture of winning like that without having parameters, and a player just bent those parameters. And the better the player is that can bend the parameters, the worse it is for the team culture.
Well, and how are you supposed to tell a guy if he's late for practice that he's going to be punished for being late to practice?
That's my exactly
every player's going to go, look at Brendan Sorsby. He broke one of the biggest rules in college sports, and he's getting suspended for two games, and he's playing. He's probably going to still make NIL money, all that stuff.
Yeah.
How are you then as a coach able to actually do anything about that?
Yeah.
Because then if I'm a guy that showed up late for practice, I'm like, you can't kick me off. That guy's still playing. You do that, you might have a lawsuit on your hands.
Yeah, and it's really like death by a thousand cuts. It's the really small, you know, all the things we ask these guys to do, you know, from hydration to, like, put it this way, you know, from the NFL, every serious program, you have a target body weight. And in the NFL, you're fined if you're, you know, not within 3 pounds of your target body weight, something like that, right? And we're all over that. We weigh our guys twice a day. The coaches are all over it. We're motivating. We're you know, finding ways to hold guys accountable, preaching the nutrition, hydration. And so if a guy can break the rules and gamble and be reinstated and he's right back in his team captain role or whatever, why does the defensive end, you know, have to stay at 274 pounds?
Right.
Why can't he let himself slip to 264, right? Which makes a big impact. You talk about 10 pounds a guy across the defensive front, you're talking about 40, 50 pounds, you know? Like, so
it is a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. So it's just a like I said, death by a thousand cuts. Why is it important to be, like you say, on time or to wear the proper gear? You know, even something like, geez, coach, you're going to yell at me for jumping off sides?
Yeah.
That's an honest mistake.
Right.
I wasn't over here breaking the rules for the NCAA.
Yes. That, you know, that's going to happen.
Heck yeah.
It's in their minds already. And when the chips are down and they're struggling in a game, then there's going to be a coach yelling at somebody. And it's going to be, wait a second. You know, Sorsby's over there drinking Gatorade. He shouldn't even be here.
I'm calling it. I'm calling it. The downhill slide has begun at Texas Tech.
We had some texters throughout the week refers directly to you guys and Eric Gibson Jr., you know, saying, hey, how is that guy not able to play Division I football when even the LSU athletic director came out and said, yeah, that year shouldn't count as eligibility for him because we all know the story there. And that guy gets screwed, and yet this guy actually breaks the rules and gets to play. That's really frustrating. I mean, Eric had a really good season last year. Mm-hmm. He would make a huge, and I know you got some great, exciting quarterbacks that you're looking forward to, but you were pumped to have Eric Gibson Jr. back, and he doesn't get to play Division I football because of whatever bylaw existed, whatever it counted going to LSU, even though he didn't play a down for him, and yet this guy gets to turn around and play quarterback for Texas Tech. It's frustrating.
It sure is. Yeah, it's just bizarre to see the way that the NCAA currently has to operate. And again, it goes back to, I've talked to you about this before, all of the problems that keep popping up would be solved if we would make the players employees.
Yeah.
Now you can have rules, 100%. Right? Like, you, this KFKA, the station, whoever you have your contract with, right? They can make rules. They can restrict your freedoms as an American because of your role within the company, representing the company, right? And everybody, every employee is under those certain set of rules, guidelines, parameters, whatever. But the NCAA, the presidents, continue to hold back on making the players employees. And so now we're actually, and originally it was about money. I don't know what it's about anymore, because these big schools are paying the players far more than they would pay them if they just made them employees and put these set of standards and rules in place. And now you don't have to worry about, you know, the NIL or, you know, people breaking these rules, right? Because it would be more like the NFL. Mm-hmm. You don't break, there's no way to break the salary cap rule.
Right.
It's right there in front of you. And you don't see any NFL players going through the courts to appeal suspensions or eligibility. Like, it's just straight up, look, I own this team. It's my business. You are no longer in part of this business venture. Right. Yeah.
Well, and they appeal it in the pros, you know, they appeal it to the league, and then it doesn't go to court. It's That's to right. the league, because the league's like, dude, you signed the contract.
Exactly.
You signed it, and it says all these things. And if you can prove that you didn't actually do what you did, then I suppose we've got business. So go appeal it. No, you can't. You can't appeal it. We got a story with the Broncos right now. Jonathan Cooper. He's got a domestic violence situation going on, and there were more counts today that I'll get into. But at some point, that case will be heard, and he will be found innocent, or he will be found guilty, and the NFL will deliver a punishment. Even if he's found innocent, the NFL will still probably come in and punish him. He can then appeal it to the NFL, and they can hear his case, but if they still say, no, you're still going to get this many games, he can't do anything else other than quit. I mean, that's it. In college, it's just not the case.
Yeah. And somebody will kind of maybe could explain to me, like, how can you have an addiction to gambling and that be okay to continue to do what you want to do, but you can't have an addiction to domestic violence.
Yeah.
You know, like, some of these, like, people that are exercising domestic violence, they seem to be addicted to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know? And so it's just such a slippery slope to be able to say, not only, hey, I acknowledge that I have a problem, but give me my freedoms to continue to be around that problem. It's just crazy. We don't do that in any other area.
No, and all those stories of Georgia players getting speeding tickets for going going 30, 50 miles over, how easy for them would it to say, hey, we have an addiction. And I know that's a court of law kind of thing, but if Georgia takes any kind of action and says, hey, you're going to be suspended for a game because you got 3 speeding tickets in the last 2 years. I'm sorry, but once I get behind that wheel, I have an addiction. I can't help it. I got the need for speed, man. It's just there. And I know it sounds crazy, but this also sounds crazy. So then you start to see those comparisons.
To me, I don't, like, in the research, the studying that I've done over the years, decades, whatever, the dopamine hit, which fuels addiction, I believe that happens in speeding. I believe that happens in 100%. Sports. I believe that happens in gambling. I don't know why one is, you know, I believe that happens in fighting, in violence.
Yep.
And so if that is the, you know, the criteria is that you have a difficult time withholding that behavior because of the dopamine hit or other chemical effects that are influencing your brain because of the behavior, I don't know how you can call one an addiction and another not an addiction.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And so I would like to call them all addictions and think of them all that way and reach out and help, because I have dirty laundry and vices and battles too. Like, I can relate to all of these, but I don't, just personally, I don't know, I feel like soapboxy here, but
no,
I can't.
No, it's good.
I don't like the way gambling makes me feel, not feel happy, stressed, excited, etc. I don't know how that feeling, just for me personally, I don't know how that's any different than any of these other things, because I feel I can relate to all of these, you know, whether you call them crimes or misbehaviors or vices or whatever, like I can relate somewhat to all of them, understand how people get themselves in these situations, have been in situations that I regret and made decisions that I regret. And I don't know why one seems to be now okay and the others are not.
Yeah. And again, it's so frustrating, this whole thing, you know, because we're talking about student athlete and education. Isn't it like the greatest part of education sometimes is what life's going to hand to you? And you've got a case where Sorsby messed up big time, $90,000, over 40 times betting on his own teams. And he's being delivered the lesson that, yeah, but you had an addiction, you're okay, you can continue doing. Like, that's the lesson that he's getting right now. The biggest lesson that he could receive right now, and we're fumbling it. And it's just really, it's really sad.
And by the way, it absolutely can affect your team. So if anybody is thinking, I just threw it out there a few minutes ago that, well, let's say it would be the rule that if you bet for your own team to win, that would be okay. As a coach and somebody in sports, and probably a lot of people can relate to this, I can tell you in football, especially, how that would could be detrimental to your team's ability to win. And here's how. In football, you, with the fact that you're actually calling plays, there's a risk assessment for every play. And so you see it all the time. A team is down late in the game. The risk, you must raise the risk reward. And at that point, you get into the two-minute offense. You start throwing the ball further down the field. Now you have a higher percentage of both scoring, but also turning the ball over. That's when the majority of turnovers happen. That's when the majority of incompletions, sacks, negative things occur. So if you're a quarterback and you have bet on your team to win, and you're losing and you have a lot of money on the line, you may move the risk assessment needle prematurely. Or if you've bet to win by a certain number of points, you may move the risk assessment needle too much in trying to win by 14 points instead of only 7.
Mm-hmm.
And here goes, you've actually put your team in a detrimental position because 100%. You've raised the risk and it raised the reward proposition, but now the risk happens as well. So it absolutely could happen that betting for your team is still a negative impact to your team.
That's a great point, because there's a lot of the Pete Rose stuff. It's like, well, yeah, but he gambled on himself, but that could also, you know, he's pushing a little extra. And maybe that little extra cost you a game or something. You just never know.
I think it's far less likely to happen in other sports than in football.
Yeah, sure.
Because football is such a risk reward. Like, there are decisions made. You can't just go out and take a group of people and play a football game. You have to have playbooks. You have to have formations, alignments. It would look nothing like, you couldn't even get 11 random people from different teams to actually line up correctly without committing a procedural penalty, right? You can go play 5-on-5 basketball all day. You could go play a baseball game. People know where to stand, what to do. There's no illegal alignments, things like that. Football is just a completely different animal. This is like every inch is scripted. And therefore, the risk-reward decisions that go into it from a coaching and playing standpoint, they can manipulate a game like no other sport.
Man, Coach, this was great. I hope you don't mind we went there heavy today, but that's the big story. That's just like, that's the national story right now.
I feel off. I feel like this is either our best episode ever or our worst.
Hey, you never know.
Burn it.
Yeah. That is every day after my show. I'm like, that was probably the worst show we've ever done.
Before you publish this, please have a reasonable, rational third party listen to it and burn it if I've embarrassed myself somehow, because I feel like I'm just talking. There's just too much going on in my life.
I think actually it was very, to me, this is the kind of radio that I absolutely love. That's why I was looking forward to this podcast this week, because I want to hear your thoughts on this stuff, because you're a guy I certainly look up to, admire in this sports realm and how you handle your business. And then I look over at Texas Tech and I see the complete opposite. So I was really looking forward to chopping it up with you this morning, man.
I appreciate that. If I put myself in the Texas Tech coach's shoes, it's always hard to do that, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like that player would be coming to my house. Let's have some steak. Let's talk about this. You broke the rule. Let's not talk about the morality of whether the rule's right or wrong, but you broke the rule, and we that the NCAA rules are also our team rules, and so here's the consequence.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way I can say it, and we've went round and round with a lot of different kind of pontifications and on it, and I hope I've you know, walked the fine line that's necessary when we're talking about people.
I think you did.
Yeah. You know, and being understanding, but I am disappointed in the Texas Tech coach most of all.
Yeah, and I realize too, it's easier for me to get on my soapbox every single day because I'm not in the NCAA. And so I think you walked that line perfectly today. So I appreciate you going there with me, my friend.
Thank you.
Have fun tonight. I know you're jumping on with the fellows on Good Morning NoCo. I'm curious to get your thoughts after a big weekend for the UNC Bears as far as building up team morale.
Thank you.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.